It is time on a Tuesday morning to talk books. It's a segment we call, somewhat unsurprisingly, the Tuesday Book Club. I don't know what would have given it away. We do it with Andrew Popel, who helms 2SER's own final draft. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really well, actually. You know, books galore.
We haven't even started talking Sydney Writers Festival properly yet.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's something I'm really looking forward to. But we're at that sort of almost headache stage of what am I going to cover? What am I going to have to miss?
Oh, looking forward to seeing what comes out of that, or listening to it rather. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, today, I mean, if we think about the Writers' Festival being this amazing week in the year, but every month, all year, you can discover amazing Australian writing, because I do have on my other little show, Final Draft, a segment called the Australian Classics Book Club. I casually dropped last week that it has returned for another year.
And very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And for those yet to discover the splendour and depth of Australian writing, this book club, the Australian Classics Book Club, is the perfect entry point to explore this rich history of words. Every month, I'm joined by David Winter, who's a senior editor at Text Publishing, as well as a special guest. And we've been having some amazing ones, often connected with the author or other really important parts of the book world, to explore a work of Australian fiction. Now, last year, if you were keeping up with it, Nick, we travelled through the 19th century and up to sort of about the 1950s, looking at Australia predominantly through the lens of Sydney siders, or many, many Sydney-based books, a few forays, you know, sort of south and the like. This year, we're running the gamut, and I'm very excited to be expanding our reach across Australia and also the world.
Ooh.
Mm. So the next instalment of the Book Club is coming up this weekend.
Yay!
This weekend. And we're travelling back only a few short decades and reading Kate Jennings' Moral Hazard. Now, Moral Hazard is a wryly observed tragedy of expat Aussie Kath in the capital of the universe, New York. When we meet Kath, she's a speechwriter for a not-quite-top-tier investment bank, and this is the early 90s. Despite her leftist leanings and fading memories of student activism in the 60s, Kath's been forced to take this job after her husband, Bailey, is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Older than Kath, but young for the disease, Bailey's his decline is quick, and Kath must make some serious cash to pay for his medical expenses. So she's taken this corporate job because it's pretty much the only way you can pay for, you know, medical expenses in America and also afford rent in New York.
Terrifying, but true.
Mm. Kath's descent into the world of cutthroat finance is cushioned by her regular chats with Mike. Another withering lefty, Mike now works as a risk manager and volunteer conscience for the Wild West attitude of Wall Street. So it's through their conversations that Kath and the reader learns a lot about the machinations of how the street works. Kath's education in Wall Street exposes its blatant manipulations and general disregard for anything other than the all-powerful, all-holy market. A market hurtling towards a series of crises at the end of the 90s.
Of course, that's just history.
And Kath sees herself as commuting between two forms of dementia, two circles of hell. And the imminent collapse of the markets is paralleled by Bailey's increasing loss of reality, or his loss of his grip on reality. So I thoroughly enjoyed Moral Hazard. I don't know if I've reading that through, I'm like, did I set that up well? Because it is it is gripping. It has pathos. It's funny and educational. Kath is this amazing character. I'd recommend it to anyone. I suspect, though, my takeaways, and that's a phrase loathed by Kath in the book, as representing some sort of hideous cult of positivity. We always have to have takeaways from everything in life. We learn and we move forward. My takeaways would be very different from those of the book's first audiences in the early 2000s. You know, if you think about it, since the notion of financial crisis and market bubbles, they've entered the popular lexicon. We all seem to walk around with some of Kath's weary disdain. She is a stupendously realised figure. It was telling for me that as I read, I started to view her situation less and less as that of a character in a book I was reading, and more sort of as that of a friend that I'm not quite in touch with as much as I would like. It really affected me, you know, and I think seeing her go through this situation with her partner, you know, we can all relate to not loving work. So the moral hazards of the book are many, and none more so than the decline of Bailey into dementia. At an early point in the book, he begs Kath that she will help him end it if he loses touch with himself. Kath feels increasingly estranged from herself as she settles into corporate life, and this is a life she took on for Bailey, and so she's unsure if she can give him up, sort of losing herself entirely. Ultimately, Kath's only escape from Wall Street can be when Bailey dies. Moral Hazard indeed.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Mm. So if you want to find out more about Moral Hazard and Kate Jennings, tune in this Saturday, Final Draft, 10 a.m. David and I, we're going to be joined by Margaret Connolly, who was actually Kate Jennings' literary agent, and we're going to be discussing the book and its place in Australian storytelling. Of course, if you can't wait that long, you could also discover Death in Brunswick. That was the February Book Club. It's a darkly comic tale of 80s Melbourne from Boyd Oxlade. If you are a fan of the film, if you know the film, if you love the film, the classic gravedigger scene.
Yeah.
The film's actually a lot more positive than the book, but no less comic. I mean, there were positive spins spun on, and the ending is quite different. So the ending in the book is just jaw-dropping. So, that conversation's online at 2scr.com/finaldraft. I did a little / with my hand.
You did. I actually saw that happen. That's not a bad way to pack in an Easter weekend. Those two back-to-back, that's a pretty good way of doing it.
They're both also quite slim volumes. You know, they're clocking in at a couple of hundred, 250 pages. So you could read the book on Friday, listen to the show on Saturday, and then read the book, Death in Brunswick Saturday Arvo, listen to the show on Sunday. You still got Monday free.
You have absolutely planned out an entire weekend. Hey, did want to say, it is very interesting to see Australian characters being put outside of Australia. I think a lot of Australian writing brings Australia in as a character. So having someone set in New York is actually quite fascinating.
And that's a really interesting part of our conversation, exploring the idea of, apart from the fact at the beginning where Kath explains to us that she lives in New York, but she's Australian, what makes this book Australian literature? I mean, it's very much New York. It's very much Wall Street. I think Kath's voice is very much Australian. I think her wry observations, I think her humour are something that an Australian audience can appreciate. And it shows us Australia in the world.
I would tune in if I wasn't going to be in China. I will definitely be listening in on the website afterwards.
Yeah, you can tune in to 2scr.com. You can stream us live.
What?
Yeah, China. I mean, it's going to be dinner, afternoon
breakfast,
tea.
Breakfast, I think. They're 3 hours behind, aren't they?
Only 3 hours. Oh, yeah, so you'll be getting up.
I did get very confused with this.
Wake up to my dulcet tones.
Andrew Bobble, thank you very much. It is worth doing. Of course, it's all on Final Draft. It can be found on 2scr.com or tuned into live on 107.3. Let's talk books again really soon.
Just after Easter. Can I drop just the name of a book? This is what we're going to be talking about. False Claims of Colonial Thieves. That's it. If you want to track it down, False Claims of Colonial Thieves. I think that title alone is going to get a lot of people tuning in.
It's certainly going to get me tuning in. I cannot wait to talk about it. Talk to you soon.
See you soon, Nick.